Measuring yourself is easy in some respects, like your age, your height, your weight, but not so easy in others, like your character, integrity, and maturity. But those are the real measurements we should be focusing on. Your quantitative info doesn't define who you are, it's your qualitative info that does. But growth doesn't just happen. It takes intentional accountability on your part. So welcome to The Measuring Post, a place where we can learn and grow together.
Hello and welcome to The Measuring Post. My name is Joe Massa, the host of The Measuring Post. And today we are going to do a little learning and growing together as we do each and every week. But today we're going to take a trip down Trauma Avenue. But luckily we have an expert on hand. That's right, you can use that. I just made that one up. This lovely lady to my right is Annie Yatch. She is the owner-operator of North Star Leadership. And what they really focus on is taking trauma and experiences in that sort of traumatic realm and turning it into triumphs and successes, mainly for entrepreneurs, but really for anybody who's looking to kind of overcome some things that have happened in their lives or are currently happening. So with that in mind, please welcome Annie to The Measuring Post. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I can't wait to dive into this awesome topic. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. And I've been doing a little research on your company, which you can find at NorthStarLeadershipSchool.com. And really, it's a really cool sort of practice that you have over there. And you do personal coaching, but you work through people's traumas and help them turn that into a success. So kind of give me a little background on first, A, where the company started from, where the idea came from. And then obviously there was some trauma in your life that led to this breakthrough in your own personal and professional life. So I'll let you kind of go through some of your background.
Sure, of course. Well, you know, I went to school originally to work in counterterrorism, right? So I never thought I'd be in trauma work at all. But when I was young, I met and married a Navy SEAL, and he had a lot of, you know, PTSD, a lot of trauma he had been through. And I was really fascinated by not only how do Navy SEAL brains and mindsets work, but also how do we get people to move from a place where they're really quite stuck in what they're able to create for themselves to a place where they have more opportunity. And so the idea originally came from, we were helping another entrepreneur, and we could tell that this entrepreneur was getting really stuck in his own mind and unable to see the potential for opportunities. And it was all because instead of being in the present moment, he was literally in fight or flight from a situation that happened to him 20 years before. And so that's when I started getting really excited, because I felt like if we can help every entrepreneur who, because they're an entrepreneur, they've already gone through a lot of trauma. And the trauma that I talk about is a perceived loss of control. It's not actually what we think about sometimes as, you know, big childhood wounding, or, you know, maybe the loss of a child or an accident that you've been in. It's actually something much more subtle. And so many of us have a lot more of this trauma or perception of a loss of control that we've experienced through our entire lives that's limiting our ability to create the business that we want or scale and grow the business to the size that we want it to. And even it changes the way that we hire and work with people on our team. So that's where it started from. It started from me being married to a Navy SEAL and seeing that he was suffering and he was an entrepreneur. And then I watched other entrepreneurs suffer. And I was like, there's got to be a way that we can shift this so entrepreneurs can enjoy their lives a little bit more and that entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, and I like that you brought up that it doesn't have to just be some major thing that happened, like a loss of a child or even PTSD. So I'm assuming that you don't only work with, you know, military members. It's pretty much for anybody that is hitting some sort of barrier where they just can't seem to get over that hurdle on moving to the next chapter of whatever they need to do to get to the next level.
It's definitely not. I haven't worked with many military people unless they're entrepreneurs who are also in the military, right? But what I've found is that no matter what, there's something in an entrepreneur's past that caused them to create a story that is not true today, but it was true back then. And so they create this story about how they need to be, and then they live into that for about 20 years, not even realizing that they're stuck with regards to what they can create for themselves. So any entrepreneur that's out there that has created or built a company or is thinking about creating and building a company, if you address this trauma piece first, it changes how you step into the calling of what your business can be, which is where I get really excited, because I feel like so many people start businesses because they want to feel freedom, but they never feel that freedom because the business takes over and it becomes a roller coaster of entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So that leads me to a question that probably a lot of people would have. How do you identify these traumas? Certainly if they're very subtle, you know, something that I might be experiencing internally that I don't even realize is going on. So how do you sort of dig down into somebody's psyche and figure out what's going on in there?
Well, usually for me, I have a process that I work people through that helps me identify this within an hour. So most people tell me that 30 years of therapy happens in an hour with me because I go so deep so quick and I can see the pattern so quickly. But normally what happens is when you watch yourself react in a situation and it's amplified, it's bigger than it needs to be, that's usually an indicator that something is wrong based on a trauma from your past. And the way I like to add, or I like to mention it to people, if you're listening to this and you're wondering, well, how do I identify my own traumas? You can look at any aspect of your life where there is suffering. So if you look at your life, you look at every team that you're on, you're like, well, where is there suffering? Usually that suffering is an indicator of a lie that you've told yourself when you were younger to survive. And if you're living in suffering, there's something in the subconscious that's trying to hold you back. So I always start with asking people, well, where is there suffering in your life? Is it in your relationship? Is it in your business? Is it in, you know, your relationship with your kids? And from that, we're able to backwards engineer where everything started from. Because I think that root cause of why there's suffering can usually indicate where there's a lie that is not serving you anymore.
I like that. Yeah, you definitely are very therapeutic already. I could tell that your sessions would be very intense. But in a very positive way. I think that's something most people have a really hard time doing, is sort of reflecting inward and seeing what's going on internally, because it's just easier to always look at the other person and point, and, you know, very hard to look in the mirror and identify. So I think it's probably very helpful to have somebody like you, a third party that can come in and kind of do a life audit or a personality audit, if you will, for lack of a better term.
That's almost so, exactly what I do, for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine. And that's something that I would love to do with you also. So I'll have to sign up
at
NorthStarLeadershipSchool.com. That's where you can get a one-on-one session with Annie. We'll put links up to that later. But this isn't your first company. So you've had several other successful businesses in the past. And I don't know how, you know, if you want to go over some of those, but you've had some experience in trauma leading up to this career and this business.
Correct. Right. I mean, I think all of us don't really know where we're going to end up when we start in business. Right. And so when I initially started, I remember my Navy SEAL ex-husband, he'd gone through a pretty big issue with his body. And, you know, he had been in an incident that had caused him to have some massive trauma, and this is physical trauma. Right. And I remember I sat with him in the hospital room and I just told him, I'm like, you know, what makes you amazing is not what you can do with your body. It's really what you have inside your brain. And if we could take these incredible, you know, systems and structures that the Navy SEALs build to be able to do the impossible missions, and if we could bring that information to other people, then think about how many lives we could change. And that was really where the other businesses started. So there started to become a focus on how do we bring the Navy SEAL systems, mindset, structures to normal people like you and I who are in business, but we needed that like mental edge that we didn't know how we were going to get to take us through that whole entrepreneurship journey. So that was the first business where we did a lot of work on leadership and team performance. And then we actually, the funny part about it was we had a leadership program for kids in schools because we wanted to help schools overcome bullying. And we thought it was a leadership problem, not a bullying problem, because the dynamic between the teachers and the students would create bullying rather than a leadership dynamic of leading and following. And so when we did that, the funny part was that one of the fifth graders' curriculums on honor was picked up by the head of a very large corporation. And he said, you know, my child brought home this fifth grader curriculum on honor and it's revolutionized my thought process on my team. Can you come in and teach our executive team? So I didn't start on the trauma space. I started going in and coaching executive teams on leadership and performance. But what I realized was a lot of these teams had entrepreneurs who would jump back in after you train their whole team to be incredibly high performers, and they would cause chaos or drama or issues, and it would completely change the team dynamic. So then I started thinking, well, what if we could do this work with the entrepreneur first and then teach the team how to be higher performers? Because then you would have less chaos, less drama, and the whole team would be able to scale and grow much faster. So that's
so
sort of
you-
what
would you consider that like along the lines of someone being like a micromanager, like somebody that comes in and nitpicks everything or sort of just can't let go of the control?
That's one aspect of it. But, you know, trauma patterns in entrepreneurs are so all over the place. Like we had one gentleman who is, he's fantastic. He was stuck at $2 million a year because his dad, when his dad died, had only ever made $2 million. And so he would literally be unable to break that ceiling because he was tied through a trauma bond to what he experienced with his dad. And so once we did that work with him, he broke through that ceiling, took his company public, and now is making millions of dollars because now he can see how that trauma pattern was trying to hold him back. So it's just, it's wild to see how subtle it can be and how almost like sneaky the subconscious is when it's holding us back from something.
Now, I will go on the record and say I would be okay with $2 million a year. But I'm glad that he was able to break through that trauma pattern because it is maybe – right? Yeah. You know, I don't need much. I'm a simple man. But no, it's interesting to think about it that way. You know, or like we had this conversation with my dad many years ago when he surpassed the actual age of his father when his father died. And it was like uncharted territory. Like his father, my grandfather died at 49, I believe. And now my dad yesterday was his 67th birthday. So he's talked about that of like, it just being sort of surreal to pass that milestone that his dad never got to pass. So, you know, this is very, you know, similar, but obviously not really a trauma. Can't control your aging, but it was something that really stood out in his mind as being significant.
And it is significant, right? There are people that go through the death of a parent and it changes how they view their entire life because the subconscious feels like, oh my gosh, what if I'm helpless? What if I can't reach that same age? What if I die at the same age, right? And that limits decisions you make. It limits how you view opportunities. I mean, there's so much that comes from how we grow up that changes the way we do business that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, and I would imagine that learning some of these trauma breaking patterns or skill sets probably benefit a lot of areas of your life, not just your business life, but it can also help your marriage, your relationships, your parenting skills, and just like how you actually perceive day-to-day sort of scenarios.
100%, because the reality is whenever you're in a trauma pattern, it's almost as though fight or flight takes over in your body, which is it causes you to amplify your reaction to things. And so imagine if you're going into a business deal and you're in fight or flight because you're worried or you have fear running you that you might not close the deal, then you're not going to make the best decisions because you're being run by that subconscious versus your conscious mind, which could probably see opportunities very differently if it wasn't run by fear. And so sometimes, like even, you know, I had a recent client who he had never known that some of the anger that was so like he was on edge a lot and he had all this anger building up in his system and he could never understand like, why am I getting so angry? This doesn't seem like a big deal. And he would cause trouble in his relationships or even in his work environment. And what he realized all of a sudden was that anger was something that he had suppressed from something that happened with his parents when he was a really young child. Once he was able to identify that, he realized he has to really pause and interrupt that pattern so it wouldn't cause issue in his personal life, in his business relationships, and in his team as it was growing. So it's amazing to see how something so small, like being, you know, put in your room because you did something quote unquote wrong as a child, could become, I'm not going to connect with people and I'm going to be so logical about everything that I will only make logical decisions and I'll miss finding the love of my life. I mean, crazy things like that I've seen as well. And so we never really know how it's impacting us until we dive a little bit deeper.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of answers one of my other questions, but I'll ask it anyways, just for anyone else listening that might have the same thought. Is there any sort of like really common ones that you see, like a lot of people are dealing with the same things? Is there a lot of overlap or is everyone kind of their own unique individual?
Well, I would tell you that, you know, everyone has their own story, right? So the story of how I guess the story or the program that they create in their mind is very unique to themselves, but you'll see that there's a lot of similarities around, you know, self-worth issues, being able to receive love, being abandoned, things like that show up quite a bit, but the story that you create in your mind around your abandonment can be very different for different people. And so, you know, sometimes we talk about trauma and being able to put trauma into buckets. And we would say that, you know, there's a trauma bucket around like separating yourself from other people, separating yourself from yourself, and then separating yourself from a higher power. So those could be three buckets that you look at. But within each bucket, there's so much complexity to the trauma pattern that people are in. And so it really takes a little bit of time to help people see it because your subconscious will try to hide it from you. Because if you can see your trauma pattern and you can get yourself out of it, you would literally break through the ceiling of the amount of wealth you can make, the amount of relationship connection you can have. And usually your subconscious wants to keep you safe. It doesn't want you to be unbelievably happy. It wants you to stay safe and not be miserable, but you end up being a little bit safe and a little bit miserable at the same time because you're playing in that old story. That makes sense.
That dang subconscious doesn't want us to be happy.
That's right.
That's what's going on.
That's exactly what's happening more often than not.
Yeah, you know, I think it's fascinating to me, the one example you used about something like that happened 20 years ago with your parents, like just to be able to find that out, to reflect back, that's fascinating to me. So obviously your technique is something proprietary, or your ability is something that is a gift that you have, but do you have a lot of hard time going that deep into someone's past? Is it something that people struggle to like release that information, or like you think you would forget after that amount of time?
Well, it's interesting, right? I hope that I create such a safe environment for people that they feel that they can share. And I mean, I go pretty deep in the first 5 to 10 minutes, right? The first question I ask everybody is, what's the lowest point of your life? And when people hear that question, you know, they automatically go into, you know, all the memories of everything that's happened to try to figure out what is that low point. It's usually the point that you don't want to talk about. You don't want somebody else to know because you think they're going to think less of you. And what I say to everybody is, I'm like, listen, every single moment in your life, whether it's good or bad in your mind, it's just a lesson that we're learning from. So I'm not going to judge you for it. I already see you as an incredible human being. Nobody is broken by their trauma. Nobody is broken. The trauma is actually a way for you to understand yourself better, step into your calling, and to impact the world at a greater level. So I think when you look at trauma as a lesson that you're learning from, it takes away some of that sting and some of that negativity, but almost everybody will tear up or get emotional on the first call with me because we do go so deep so quickly. And I think that level of connection, most people never experience, or that level of acceptance. So it's a very healing process, and most people are worried it's going to be, you know, very painful or very emotional. And most people tell me at the end, they're like, I feel so much hope. I feel so much relief. I feel like, you know, I've never shared this with somebody else before, and it helps them feel seen and heard. And then you have the potential for such great growth after that.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's very hard to be that real and honest with yourself. I know that there's definitely things in my life that I've done I'm not proud of, but I like the way you frame that, because that's the way I've always tried to position it, is as a learning lesson and as a moment for growth. That, yes, I made a horrible decision, or I did something I'm ashamed of, but looking back, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't be who I am today. So there is no shame in doing something that is shameful if you learn from it and grow from it, is probably the best way to position that. But you have to find your purpose.
You do. And most people are starving for their purpose. And if people could realize that your purpose actually comes out of awareness of your trauma pattern, then stepping into purpose is so much easier. I've had so many people come to me and they're like, I feel like I don't have purpose in my life. I feel like my business isn't purposeful. And I'm like, well, let's identify what is this root trauma pattern that you've been living in your whole life. And let's figure out what your calling is from that. And the second people can sync up the root trauma pattern to their greater calling, all of a sudden it's like so much resolves within them because they've been searching for purpose for so long, not knowing what that was for them. And then you can build off of the purpose with creating impact, creating a business strategy that is linked to you living in your purpose. I just did this with a gentleman. He was an accountant, and he basically had figured out that he had spent most of his life managing his mother's emotions. And so he, as an accountant, was managing everybody else's emotions, but it didn't give him any fuel or excitement to do the work that he was doing. And so once we identified that if you stop trying to manage everybody else's emotions and you actually be the person you are, which is this disruptor in the accounting space, you could create more impact and bring in more clients. And he was able to turn around his business so quickly to make a lot more money, because now he could just be himself and he didn't have the trauma that was trying to hold him in an old program that wasn't serving his business anymore.
So do you see when people go through your program and kind of have that aha moment where they break through something, that sometimes it completely derails their current purpose and redirects them into something maybe they didn't even think was what they wanted in life? Is that, do you see a lot of complete like 180s in people's goals and careers?
Well, I don't know if it's a 180, but it's definitely a redirection. right? So like they might have been doing their business in a certain way where they're playing very, very small and they're like, gosh, I can't really make the money I want to make. I'm just getting by every month. You know, I always thought this experience would be better. And then once they do this process, all of a sudden everything is so clear that they can make different decisions. They have a new filter for opportunities that they can take advantage of, and they start realizing that they can delegate more effectively. So it's sort of the big opener for all the change in your life that you haven't been able to create on your own yet. So it's not necessarily that they're shifting everything in their business, but it is shifting everything internally so that they can be much more clear on where they want to go. And then the decisions become much quicker and easier.
Yeah. So I personally have run a couple of businesses and I always get stuck in this like analysis paralysis or like this sort of like imposter syndrome where you feel like I can't be the guy that does this. I can't be the one that's running a multi-million dollar company. And then you just spend all this time doing all the research and looking at all the tools and software that you could use. And then, you know, it's 3 a.m. and I'm eating a bag of Cheetos at my computer doing all the research and I've actually done none of the work. So this is something that is very intriguing to me because it's really hard to break out of that mindset of like, if I don't have 100% of every answer to every question that might come up, how can I move forward and be successful in business?
Well, Joe, the fact that you bring that up, it reminds me of a gentleman I worked with. He was in the same overanalyzing analysis paralysis. And when he came to me, he was like, I'm literally about to run this multi-million dollar company. I feel like I have imposter syndrome, right? He's like, I feel like I can't do it. And I'm like, well, let's figure out why and where that's coming from. We were able to go back to a key moment in his life where his mom and dad were getting a divorce. And they used to leave the house at midnight. And he was a little kid and he was taking care of his brother. They would leave the house at midnight. And from midnight until like 4 a.m., he'd be sitting at the window waiting for his parents to come back, running through every possible scenario in his head as to why they were not going to come back. And whenever he would go into trying to lead things in business or take over something in the company, he would go into that same overanalyzing state. And we realized it was linked back to that moment and it would only hit him between midnight and 4 a.m. And what we did was we shifted his entire work schedule and work calendar so that those hours he could sleep and actually rest instead of, you know, getting stuck in that loop. Now he's running a multi-million dollar company. He never has that issue anymore because we were able to identify where the root cause was of the over-analytical brain. So there's likely something that's causing you to go into that loop that you're not even aware of, that if we were able to identify where it comes from, we could start to rewire it and interrupt the pattern.
Yeah, and that's something I would love to do with you. We'll set that up because this is fascinating to me. But it's also refreshing to hear that somebody out there is literally having those same thoughts and using the same words even. So it's not uncommon people listening to feel this way. And it's good to just identify it. But that you brought up something that was unique that I didn't even consider. Some of these can be like time-based. Like you said, he really had that emotional feeling at a certain time in the day. Yes. Because that's when the trigger happened for him many years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is, I don't feel like I have a time relayed one, but
and you might
that's
not.
Interesting.
It might be something, you know, some people have time ones. This is where the complexity comes into play, right? Like some people might have time emotional moments. But you know what was interesting that you said before about the imposter syndrome? So many entrepreneurs have imposter syndrome. And I was asked to speak on this topic on a podcast a while back. And I went to research like, well, what else are people training or teaching about how to get rid of it? And I found that there are only three things that most people say about how to get rid of imposter syndrome. Share your feelings, talk to a therapist, have gratitude. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, that's never going to resolve imposter syndrome, right? And so I looked back at all the work I've done with a lot of the clients and I was able to put together, here are the things that you do if you want to resolve imposter syndrome for good. And so that's another example. Imposter syndrome has to come from somewhere. If we identify where it comes from and we give you a plan of action to resolve it, now all of a sudden you're never wondering, do I have what it takes or how can I be running a multi-million dollar business? You're like, this is my calling. This is who I am. Because I know this about my past, I'm here to do this in the world. And then you run and you move much more quickly. So it's almost like the fast track to getting you to the next level of your own performance.
Yeah. And I love that. And honestly, I had a lot of that feeling when I started this podcast back up. This was originally a completely different format. It was just me talking. It was audio only. And I would take like a famous quote from history and then I would dissect it and kind of give a modern spin on it and then kind of apply it to my life and encourage listeners to do the same. But it got to the point where I'm like, why is anyone going to want to listen to me? You know, like, I'm just talking about something that some much more famous smart man said 200 years ago, and now I'm talking about it. Like, what's the purpose of this? And so I hung up the microphone for a while, and I didn't do the show. And when I relaunched it this time, I did a video style, obviously, as we're on video. But I figured, you know what, let's bring in people that are not imposters. They're really good at what they do, and they can share these skill sets with us, and it would alleviate a little of the pressure on me, because then I don't have to be the one talking the whole time. But also, you learn so much, and I really love that I've done this format, because I meet people like you that really bring this unique perspective on how to identify and then address issues in your life. And sometimes it's a mental barrier or a traumatic event. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's financial. So there's a lot of different angles that this show has gone, but I love that this is something that can be discussed, and we can be very open with it. And that really is, you know, I like how you said the three things that cure imposter syndrome will never work. Cause I was like, that's not going to work. I have gratitude, but I don't want to need to share it with the world. And I don't really feel like I need therapy. It's just something that I need to identify what has happened in my life. But even talking with you right now, it is therapeutic, because just releasing that and saying it out loud, there's been times when I have self-doubt. That's powerful. And really just letting that information out, I'm sure, takes a lot of weight off people's shoulders in your interviews.
It does. And just being able to finally say the things that you've been thinking inside for a long time, but you've never had the courage to speak, that actually allows your subconscious brain to start working more closely with your conscious brain. Because your subconscious is running 11 million data points a second. Your conscious brain is only picking up on 40. So we're really being run 97% of the time by the programs of the subconscious. And the more we understand what those programs are and we can see them coming, it's not that you're ever going to get rid of the subconscious, right? You wouldn't want that, but you will be able to respond much faster when you find yourself stuck in the old program, right? Because the old program is the one that limits us and restricts our growth and restricts our ability to create what we want in our life. And so if we can see it coming and get out of it faster, we'll be more productive, we'll be more effective and efficient, and the imposter syndrome that's been plaguing you will leave. And so if you ever want to work on that, you just let me know and I will literally walk you through the four-step process, and you will not feel like you have any aspect of imposter still in you.
I definitely want to do that. So we will set something up after this call. And then I would love to bring you back at a later date after this session and just kind of go through how it went, and I'll have on like a leisure suit and I'll be a whole new man. It'll be awesome. So
well,
yeah, let's do it.
You feel differently internally. That's the biggest change that I care about. Yeah. I just want you to feel like that's no longer part of who you are, because it's really just a shield that comes from something traumatic.
But I love that. And I'm assuming that there is some like behavioral changing tools and sort of practices that you share with people that are probably pretty, I don't want to say cookie cutter, but certain things that we can all do that will have a positive impact. So can you share some of like just the practices that you tell people to do, like when you're at home at night and you're doing your gratitude journal or whatever, like what are those little things that really make a big difference for most people?
So I'm going to tell you some things that you probably haven't heard before, because a lot of the gratitude journaling, you know, everybody hears about, we know what that is. But one of the things that I have my clients do is I have them write a reality document. This reality document is a list of all of their accomplishments, all of the things they're proud of that they've created in their world. And it's a way for them to interrupt the pattern that comes up that tells them they're not good enough or they have self-doubt. The second that you feel that self-doubt, you go to this reality document, you read through it, and you're able to see, wait a second, look at all the change that I've created in my own life between how I was 5 years ago and how I am today. Because most of us end up in the comparison game, right? We're comparing ourselves to others, or comparing ourselves to who we should be that we haven't achieved yet. Instead of just looking at, well, what has our growth trajectory been over the past 5 years and how much have we actually accomplished? Because when you read that, you're like, wow, I'm better than I thought. And that changes the neurochemistry and gives you a little bit more of that serotonin uptick so that you can do things differently. So that's an example, right? A reality document that lists all of your accomplishments, all the things that you've created and the successes you've made in your life over the past 5 years. And you read that before you go to bed every night, because that's the quickest way that we can reprogram your subconscious to really understand the value of who you are and to start living from that space. So that's a little example of one of the things.
I love that. And I have never heard that one. So you are correct. Because you hear about the gratitude journaling and I like that stuff. It's good to remind yourself that you're blessed, even if you're going through tough times. And just look at around the world, there's people out there that are in much more dire conditions than I am. So it's easy to get that sort of really negative mindset where I go, oh, my whole life's falling apart. And then I go, well, I got my health, I got a wife and kids, I got a house, I got food on my table. My life's not that bad. So sometimes the pity party just needs a reminder that it's okay. But I think I like that angle better, as far as instead of just being thankful for things, looking at what I've accomplished and being thankful for what I've been able to do. So that's something I definitely would like to put into practice. So thank you for that.
That's a, you're welcome.
Great. Yeah, that's an awesome one. So obviously we can be find your company online, NorthStarLeadershipSchool.com. Is there like a time program? Is it like a 6-month program, or is it like how many sessions do you usually offer people, or is it sort of case by case?
Well, what I've launched now, because I had so many people that couldn't work with me because I had a very full calendar, I've launched now a self-paced program. So what happens normally is you would reach out, maybe do a call with me, I'd assess what you've got going on, and then we do one big groundbreaking call, you and I together, so it's private. And then from there, you would start the self-paced program, and it gives you the four biggest breakthrough tools that I could possibly give you to build off of the change that we create in that first session. So that this allows me to help more people at a lower price point, to help you step into that genius zone that is you, and to actually see what your value is, so you can step into the calling of your life and the purpose, rather than staying stuck in sort of the old program that's been running you your whole life. So I do that now as a self-paced program, but you still get some great contact with me, because I'm going to make sure you don't fail. Like, there's no way. I am relentless. We'll get to the bottom of it, and then you'll build from there doing the self-paced work. So that's what I do now to help others.
Yeah. And I think that's probably pretty ideal for a lot of people. Yes. A lot of people like to go at their own pace, but also it's dealing with something that's heavy like this and sort of opening your heart up and your trauma.
Doesn't work in a group program.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably not something like you would do like a weekend retreat with a bunch of people and soccer moms and dads, and they're going, oh, everyone's crying. So that's probably very smart on your end, but probably more a helpful tool for a lot of people like me. I would prefer to be sort of private in my growth. And it doesn't mean that I don't want to share it. And obviously, that's what this whole show is about. It's about opening up and sharing things that you're dealing with. And it's a place that the tagline is a place to learn and grow together. And you're giving a lot of really great resources and tools right now and thought processes. And I love it. And so that does lead me to, do you do any sort of one-on-one, like in-person stuff?
I do intensives where people fly out and they spend 2.5 days with me. And that's really about like building your leadership and resetting you completely, because I do so much work to reset the paradigm that people live in such a short period of time, that they leave and they have a whole action plan for how to move forward in their life in a way that allows the subconscious to work for you. So I love doing those. People fly in from all over the country. We spend 2.5 days together. I completely shift and rewire many aspects of the mind that's been holding them back. And then they have an action plan to take into their world. And then there's a little bit of coaching afterwards too, just to make sure they cement the change. But I do a lot of that private coaching. And then I also have private coaching clients that have been with me for, you know, usually 6 months to a year, and then they move on and do wonderful things in their lives. But it's when you really want to dig deep and you want to bring in the leadership component, the performance component, the trauma component, and to make sure that you're stepping into leadership at a whole different level for the company that you're building and growing.
So if somebody was interested in doing the in-person intensive coaching, what part of the country are you based out of?
I'm out of Park City, Utah. So I'm out it's becoming ski season soon. So you can come out, you can go do some skiing, you can have some great breakthroughs. Life can't get much better than that, I don't think.
So we're based out of Denver, Colorado, or just southeast of Denver, Colorado. It's always funny when I go to Utah, because for many years I've used the mountains as like a guide for what direction I'm facing. Because the mountains are to the west of me, but when I'm in Utah, they're to the east.
Totally,
so it's
different.
It's like bizarro world.
Real issue.
Yeah.
I've been there too. That's my issue when I travel to Denver. I'm like, oh no, where am I?
Yeah, completely. It's like a whole different world, but it's fun. I love Utah. We did Moab back in 22 and did the rock climbers and stuff. And it was really cool. We did all the national parks out there. Very beautiful, Utah is, for sure.
For sure. And I grew up in Michigan, so it's a little bit of a change for me, but I went to school in Washington, D.C. I went to Georgetown, and then I ended up out this way. So I'm enjoying learning about the entire United States. I just sort of bop around and have great experiences and meet new people and have a great time. So,
Yeah, absolutely love that. We try to travel as much as we can. And it is good to see different parts of the country. But I would imagine D.C. and Georgetown is a far cry different than old Park City, Utah.
It is a far cry different. Yes. Those are my earlier years when I was going into counterterrorism and working for the Defense Intelligence Agency. And now I'm in a much different place where I'm supporting people having the biggest breakthroughs of their life. And that's really what fills me up. So
you were kind of like a James Bond at one point.
People used to call my ex-husband and I Mr. and Mrs. Smith because we were
there
like,
you go.
We looked like sort of badasses and we did a lot of really cool stuff with the brain. And, you know, it's so much fun just to, you know, to play into those personas sometimes. We used to have a facility where we actually trained a lot of people on being safe, and we ran spy dates and date nights and all those cool things because of that background. So
I would actually change your title now as the most interesting woman in the world, just like those old beer commercials with the most interesting man. That's really cool that you've done so many of these things and you really kind of crack the code on people's mindsets and really open them and unleash them to their full potential. I think that there's not enough people doing that type of work. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. And like I said, we're definitely going to schedule a time and I'm going to let you get in my head and fix it and all the craziness. Yeah.
All right. I can't wait. And remember, we're not fixing you. All we're doing is we're bringing out all that unleashed potential that you haven't had a chance to access yet.
Perfect. I like that. You said it much better. So I'll leave it there. But guys, definitely check out NorthStarLeadershipSchool.com. You can find all the information on Annie and her programs, learn how you can set up either a very intensive 2.5-day retreat with her, or simply start on the smaller scale, do a call, do the self-paced program, see if you're getting the results that you were hoping for. And then if you want to dig deeper, maybe go to that next level where you schedule some real time with Annie in Park City, Utah, and go through the steps and really take it to heart. But my only advice that I would give, without having done the program yet myself, the advice I'm giving to myself is that when I go into this, be very real and raw with yourself. Don't hide anything. Really go through the steps and take the time and effort to get the results and open yourself up to your full potential. So that's what I'm going to do. And I really look forward to doing that with you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I hope we create a lot of great impact and help people think about this trauma concept in a whole new way.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is NorthStarLeadershipSchool.com with co-founder or owner, I should say, Annie Yatch. And again, I would love to do a follow-up session maybe 6 months down the line from now. We'll bring you back on the show and let's do a follow-up and see if we've had some people also from the listeners who have joined along and done your program. So again, thank you for your time on The Measuring Post, Annie. It was a blast talking with you. I learned a lot and can't wait to talk to you soon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Joe. And thank you to everyone who's listening.